Today is the day that we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This is the day that God gave up everything for you and for me to have life and freedom. That we could be one church that worships Him in English and in Spanish. Together, one body, not two. One church, many languages. We are so fortunate and blessed, are we not? So good. Let's pray together. Jesus, You are the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. We cannot fathom the kind of love that would die for the people You came to save at the hands of the people You came to save. I don't understand. But Jesus, I am so, so grateful for what You have done for us. That is the kind of love that inspires us to put away our selfish pride and to say, You are worthy. Thank You. This is our time to remember You, Jesus, and what You did for us. This is a holy time. Thank You that You've brought us together. May we leave changed and transformed because we have been in Your presence, the presence of the One who showed love like no one ever has before. It is in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You sure? We didn't think through all the technical details. You know, it's called Good Friday this morning, or this morning. But it's only good because for us, right? I mean, what was horrific for God was so good for us. That's why we call it Good Friday. And, you know, because we live on this side of Easter, it's easy to say that Easter is my favorite holiday. Because Easter's where we find life. Easter's where we know that the grave could not keep Jesus down. That He rose from the dead. And without the resurrection, we also know, I mean, Paul tells us, the Apostle Paul in Scriptures, that without the resurrection, everything that we do is just meaningless, empty, powerless religion. But with the resurrection, that has changed everything. So that's my favorite. We celebrate new life. We know that no matter what happens to us in the end, it's going to be okay. But resurrection is on Sunday, and this is Friday. Friday, Good Friday, where we remember the sacrifice, where today is about the cost of redemption. We remember the price that God paid for our freedom. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today in Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 27. And Vic, if you don't mind during this part, would you just scroll through the slides so that everybody can follow along? But I wanted to read what Matthew says. He said, "From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all of the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which means in Aramaic, 'My God, why have You forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge and he filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. And then the rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah really comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split and the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" and it was in the middle of the day. And at noon, until 3 o'clock, for 3 hours, darkness came over the land. You could imagine. I mean, that's not normal. Some people say, oh, well, it must have been a solar eclipse, but Passover is always at full moon, and full moons never have solar eclipses. It's just where the sun and the moon are. It can't. This was completely unexpected. You can imagine. I mean, at noon, it going dark until 3 o'clock, how anxious we would all be. I mean, if you're outside and it's a normal day, three men are hanging on crosses in front of you, and then it goes black for 3 hours. Just the ominousness of it, the anxiety of it all. They'd never experienced anything like that. But then, in the darkness, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. I find it fascinating. See, Jesus spoke Aramaic. Everybody spoke Aramaic in that area. But the scriptures, the New Testament, was written in Greek because Greek was the language of Rome. That was the language for everybody. So if you were going to write a letter or a document that you wanted everybody to understand, you wrote it in Greek. But the writers, they remembered those words. A couple of times in the New Testament, we see the actual Aramaic words. I mean, they remember that moment. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is the words right out of Psalms 22. Jesus is completely alone, bearing the sin for you and for me. Right there on that cross. He had been betrayed by those who were closest to him. He had been crucified at the demand of his own people. And even the Gentiles, those who he was including into this salvation, they were the ones who pierced his flesh. And then it says in verse 47, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now, okay, you've tried to give him something to drink. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. We want to see if Elijah will come to save him. I'm sure these were the same people who were saying, Jesus, you healed others. You saved others. Save yourself. Come off that cross. But Elijah never came. No one did. It was just dark. It was just hopeless. And then verse 50 says that when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He died. He approached death willingly. Jesus had come for one purpose. And in the darkness, right at this moment, he was fulfilling that purpose. And Matthew tells us, kind of gives us an illustration of this purpose, because he records that at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, most of us have never seen a curtain like this curtain, because this curtain was 60 feet long and 30 feet wide. This was the curtain that was the symbolic barrier between all of humanity and God. No one person a year could breach that curtain. And in that instant, when Jesus died, the curtain was ripped in two, symbolizing that the barrier between God and man was abolished. It was no more. See, now, in Jesus, all could enter God's presence. Everyone. It didn't matter what race you were. It didn't matter what position you held. It didn't matter what rituals you participated in. You came to God through one way, and that was through the blood of his son, Jesus. And as Jesus died, Matthew then records that the earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life, and they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. See, when Jesus died, there was nobody who didn't think Jesus was unique. I mean, he had been performing miracles. He had spent time with the lowest in society. He was the personification of love. But when he died and these supernatural events started happening, I'm telling you, it took it to a whole new level. Because this was the kind of power that nobody expected. I mean, The disciples had seen Jesus calm the waves and the storm on the Sea of Galilee. But this one everybody was seeing. These moments, they prepared the people for Jesus' resurrection because, you know, 50 days after this moment was Pentecost. And 3,000 people came to follow Jesus in one day. How is that possible? Because they remember these events. These were unexplainable. I mean, Pharisees and Sadducees, they came and followed Jesus later. Why? Because they were standing there knowing they put him on the cross. And when he died and the curtain ripped and the earthquakes happened, it prepared them. Something was up. Something was happening that they had never seen before. And for many, the only conclusion was that this Jesus, he really was the Son of God. It's the only explanation, even for the Gentiles. Look at verse 54. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus and they saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, Gentiles exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. See, I mean, I have a good friend who's in Wisconsin who's a Navy SEAL, all right? Soldiers, leaders, don't just say, I've been wrong. He must have been who he said he was. I mean, it takes a lot of evidence. And here you have a centurion who led 100 soldiers. That's what a centurion did by definition. And you got to think about it. This centurion, no doubt, he had participated in many crucifixions. Yet there was something different about this one. He was there when when Pontius Pilate had said that Jesus was innocent. And he was there when the crowd gave in, or when Pontius Pilate gave in to the crowd's demands to crucify him because Jesus had claimed he was the Son of God. The centurion, it was his soldiers that had whipped Jesus and scourged him. It was his soldiers that forced Jesus to carry that cross up that hill called Golgotha. They were the ones who pounded the nails into Jesus' hands and feet before lifting him up and plunging that cross into its hole. This centurion, he was guarding Jesus. He was there, and he could hear Jesus tell that crucified man next to him that today you are going to see me in paradise. And he was there when Jesus prayed that prayer for his soldiers and for him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And now in midday, the sky has gone dark, inexplicably. And he heard Jesus' cry of abandon, and then he witnessed the earthquakes when Jesus spoke those final words, and there was only one plausible conclusion. Surely this man was the Son of God. I mean, what does this mean? What kind of power is this? What kind of love is this? Who willingly dies at the hands of those he came to save? Who does that? Jesus. Jesus does. For God loved you and me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and to die. Why? Because of his absolute, undying, infinite love for you and for me. You realize that love is the only thing powerful enough to change a heart. God could demand us to worship him, but that's not love. God could force obedience, but that's not a relationship. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he painted pictures of God that were so foreign to everybody, but they are the pictures of God that we have today. That God desires us like a son, a prodigal son, a rebellious son who he is continually calling back. God desires us as friends. God desires us as he does a bride. Those are the images of love. And since we are inherently broken, we are just self-centered by nature. These desires of God to have relationship with you and me can only happen one way. A display of love so powerful, so unselfish, so bold and beautiful, that we would be drawn to him, to trust him, to love him as a friend, as a father, and as our God. That's why Jesus became man. That's why heaven was brought to earth, to pay for our sin and to reveal God's character and the character of his kingdom. I mean, you think about it. God showed us a kingdom where the rich and the poor share everything together. God showed us a kingdom where the disgraced are given honor. Failures are given second and third and fourth and 70th chances. Jesus revealed a kingdom where the sick are healed and where the grieving are comforted and where dirty feet are washed by kings, where lepers are touched and slaves are freed. Jesus showed us a kingdom where enemies are made friends. See, when Jesus died on that cross, that was the pivotal point of all history. That was the point where everything that happened before and everything that would happen after were stuck. They were hooked. They were bound to that moment. Even our calendar shows that. B.C., A.D. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, the one who died my death and yours so that we wouldn't have to die. We would experience life. And I'm not talking death on earth. I'm talking eternal death. We have been invited in love to know him and to find life in him. He's the one who initiated it. He's the one who is inviting us. He submitted and sacrificed. It's our turn. We get to respond, responding in worship, responding in praise, responding in love, recognizing that he is God and I am not. He is I am. I am, I am not. We respond. Some in this room have chosen to do this. You've made a choice to follow Christ. For others, maybe it's time to take a step of faith. But see, for all of us, it's a choice that we make daily, saying no to ourselves and yes to Jesus, saying, I am not God, he is God. In just a few minutes, after we worship a little bit more, we're going to participate together in communion. We're going to remember Christ's sacrifice by eating the bread and drinking the juice. But before we do that, I want to invite the band to come back up and get ready. Would you reflect on the love that Jesus had for us? Would you reflect Jesus on him hanging on that cross? Because Sunday is coming. But today is Friday, Good Friday. What was horrific for God was so, so good for us. Would you offer thanks to the God who ran after you and me to do whatever it would take to allow us unity again with him? He is inviting you to experience life. So I want to ask you, are you experiencing life? Not is life easy. It's not. Not is life always fun and good. No, it's not. But are you experiencing life in Jesus, meaning and purpose, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, trusting that no matter what happens, no matter what you suffer, what you go through, and it might be bad, but in the end, it's going to be okay because of Jesus and what he did on that cross. Would you offer your life to Jesus tonight and just say, I follow you. You are my God. I no longer am. Jesus, it really is all about you. This time we have together, to remember the cross, to remember the suffering. It is overwhelming because I can't imagine this kind of love for anybody. But you have shown us this. And I pray, Lord, that every person in this room right now senses your presence, that they are being drawn to you to say, yes, I follow Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.